Control Scroll.
I took an arrow.
I used to be an adventurer like that.
Then I took an arrow again.
I used to be an adventurer like you, and I took an arrow in the knee.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Troll Scroll, episode 6 of your Elder Scrolls Online podcast. My name is Tom Powers, and as usual, we have a huge show ahead of us. Yesterday, as in Thursday, ZeniMax Online unveiled the introductory video to the Elder Scrolls Online, and it is 10 minutes of pure epicness. That is our main topic of discussion in this episode. Can't wait to talk about our impressions and dissect that video. Along with that, we have 21 new things to know about the Elder Scrolls Online. Some of the information is repetitive, but we will be discussing the new points that were unveiled by MMORPG.com. We have more information about multi-guilding. Last week, Tim and I were appalled. We were sort of confused about what it is. We have more clarification now. And we'll discuss the implications. Is this new guild system madness or pure innovation? Debate for the night, we'll have to see. And, of course, we'll answer all of your mailtime questions. But first, my fellow Michigander, that French guy, I like to call him Roy Raymond. Tim LaPerriere.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Just hanging out, chilling. I downloaded Skyrim off of Steam for my PC yesterday, so I was playing that earlier today instead of Assassin's Creed 3. So,
ooh, tempting.
Kind of getting into the mood, setting the mood for The Elder Scrolls Online.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Glad to have you here. Thrilled to talk about. Oh, we got that video, man. Can't wait to talk about it. So yeah. Epic. So awesome. And we have a new contributor. A new host coming to Troll Scroll. Dan the Man. What's up?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's going on, Dan? What's up, dude? How you doing?
Nothing much. I'm just excited to be on this new podcast. See what it's all about.
Yeah, Dan, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Currently, I'm a student at Full Sail University in the entertainment business program like you are, and I just love to play video games like you guys.
Dan the Man, welcome to the show, dude. We're thrilled to have you here. You're a fellow Elder Scrolls enthusiast, and I think you'll make a good addition to the show. Boys, let's jump into it. Today we got, it wasn't 10 minutes, it was almost 10 minutes of just awesome sauce. Great preview of the Elder Scrolls Online from the ZeniMax Online team. Keep in mind, this video was the quote-unquote basics of the game. But Tim, impressions, man. What are your impressions before we sort of go point by point within that video? What stuck out to you the most?
Definitely the way the game looks and runs. I'm sure that was obviously on a higher end machine, but nonetheless, ZeniMax has said that, you know, the game can be played on lower end machines too. Obviously, it probably won't look as good, but still, it looked great. And the thing that really, really stuck out to me the most was definitely the RVR at the end. Seeing like legit 100 some players, 200 some players on the screen fighting in just a massive bloodbath of death and steel and awesomeness. So yeah, the RVR was definitely
the ending was incredible. That when that wall went down and they just spewed into the base. Oh, that was insane.
That was insane. And I have to agree with the graphics. The graphics to me look stunning. And I understand it's on a higher end machine, but that's some of the best graphics I've ever seen in any MMORPG. I don't know any other game on the market, maybe Final Fantasy 14, but the Elder Scrolls Online looks like it's sticking out on top graphic-wise compared to its competitors. Even Guild Wars 2, I think the graphics looked way better in TESO. It looks clean, and to me, I was getting a sense like, no, the graphics aren't as good as Skyrim's, but they look close. The lighting was awesome. Dan, what do you think, man? You saw the video.
I mean, I was so excited. I wanted to go and buy the game right now at this very moment. I loved hearing all the new information that we got to learn from it.
I think the graphic engine, I'm looking forward to see how that works. I know, there's like shit is getting real where I live. Do you guys hear those sirens? I was just going to say the perks. Let's talk about the perks real quick. This is something that is sort of new. We were under the impression not too long ago that werewolves and vampires were not going to be able to be in this game. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, I should say, we were wrong. There are going to be werewolves and vampires in this game. It's going to be part of a perk system. How epic is that? I don't know if you guys played Skyrim and became a vampire or a werewolf, but it's pretty badass. Were you guys stoked to hear about this?
I think it got me thinking, though, what kind of restrictions there's going to be to it. Because, you know, in Skyrim, when you become a werewolf, it's awesome because you, like, really... It's a sweet scene. The transition is pretty sweet. You, like, mutate, and you can see, like, your body, like, deforming and stuff, and then you turn into this giant werewolf, which is awesome. But, you know, even as a werewolf in Skyrim, you had certain restrictions, okay? There was certain things that you couldn't do, and obviously you were a lot stronger with other aspects, but, you know, you couldn't use, like, shouts or, you know, spells or anything like that. So it just got me thinking, okay, especially with balance-wise, how much stronger are they going to make werewolves? And, you know, how big are the buffs or whatever that vampires get? You know, how big of a role are those going to play when it comes to combat? And will we be able to do that kind of stuff in PvP too? You know, is that going to be only a PvE kind of element? So we'll not be able to do that in Cyrodiil, or are we going to be able to do that in Cyrodiil when we're doing RBR and stuff like that? So I look forward to hearing more about it just because I thought it was a great aspect in Skyrim, especially the werewolf part. So that definitely got me excited.
Well, and besides the werewolf and vampire perks, what could some other perks be?
I'm trying to think, only because if they took any inspiration from Fallout had a lot of perks. Okay, Fallout, it was like sort of in Fallout system where you get, every time you leveled up, you added perks to your character. Now, they might be different types of perks. You know, they might be just talking about major perks like turning into a vampire or turning into a werewolf or something like that. But if they kind of go the Fallout route where you can, one of them was like cannibal, you could eat dead bodies or corpses or whatever and receive health from it.
Wow.
That might be a bit extreme. Yeah, that might be a bit extreme in Elder Scrolls, but yeah, I could see them, you know, maybe, I'm not to spoil it for those who haven't played it, but in one of the missions in Skyrim, you can summon a specific character. I mean, I'm sure there's multiple quests that you can do this in. I haven't completely beaten Skyrim yet, but I remember one of them from one of the guilds, you could summon a spectral ghost that aided you in combat. You could summon them
Once
every
right.
24 hours. So, you know, that might be a perk where you can summon, perhaps,
sort of these, like, NPC allies.
Right, right. That kind of act as your companion for a short amount of time or until they die or something like that, so.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Guys, something else I sort of thought was unique about this video was when they were talking, the developers were talking about questing, and they said that you could save a town from this crazy threat, And then you would go back to the town later, just visiting it as you were, like, running through, just doing whatever you wanted. But if you revisited that town after these events, when you defended that town, the people within it, the citizens, interact with you. They cheer and they applaud you and they're like, yeah!
I think it's actually really cool. Just to fight some monsters and protect a city and then to come back days later, I don't know, a week later and play with your buddies and you're there and the citizens are cheering you on, still thanking you stuff, like you're almost a god or something, you know, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it takes NPCs to a new level. You know what I'm saying? I don't get me wrong, I'm not hating on MMOs, but NPCs in other MMORPGs, unless it's Tor because of the voice acting, but in other MMORPGs, they just stand there or they, like, pace around in circles and there's nothing really unique, but that's really awesome when you go back to visit a town and you're just running by and NPCs start cheering for you. Sounds exactly like Skyrim. It sounds exactly like the other Elder Scrolls game. And that's something that ZeniMax Online is trying to stress, I think. Because there's so many people out there that are doubting this game. They're saying, oh, this game's ruining the franchise. And, oh my gosh, it's a stupid. It's not being developed by Bethesda. This is going to totally screw up. You know, I want Elder Scrolls, the next single-player game. But this game is reflecting so many similar game mechanics from the other predecessors of the Elder Scrolls series. And I think the developers are trying to get that point across. Yeah. And this is a great example of how they do that.
Yeah, and I think this is definitely, not to veer off topic for too long, but I definitely think this is going to be one of the better Elder Scrolls games. Dare I say that? Yes, I do. Just because, I mean, there's all the aspects of Elder Scrolls, okay, the entire franchise in the Elder Scrolls Online. Yeah, there's a couple things missing, like player housing and stuff like that, but that's stuff that they can add on later. That's the beauty of MMOs. They can always add more content, right? Skyrim's going to have more content coming, but eventually that content's going to end. Okay, after what, a year and a half, 2 years, it's going to end. If Elder Scrolls Online continues to do well, we're still going to be getting content 5, 6, 7 years down the road. And we're going to be getting major pieces of content, not something that just adds an extra 10, 15 hours to the game. So we're going to be getting loads and loads of content in the future, and that's great. And they said in the video, you know, this Elder Scrolls Online game, this is exactly what it is. It's Elder Scrolls, but online. So it's like playing a normal Elder Scrolls game, essentially, but with your friends. And that's awesome.
For sure, dude. And it looks like they're pulling it off phenomenally. It looks great. The world looks good. I guess I was a little worried. I mean, we saw a few clips, brief clips from last E3 of what the Elder Scrolls Online looked like, and I was a little worried that the graphics could have taken away from the predecessor Elder Scrolls games that we played. You know, coming to the Elder Scrolls Online, the newest game, and the graphics were, you know, just way toned down compared to the Skyrim that we played, where the graphics are phenomenal. I was worried about that. That was a huge worry for me, where things were going to see sort of unfamiliar. But I'm not worried anymore. After seeing this video and just the detail in the freaking grass and the textures, and how about that armor? Holy crap. Did you guys see those armor sets? That was legit. The lighting on the armor, there were like guys wearing those armor pieces, and the lighting on the armor reflected like a shimmer, and it looked really good. There's so much detail in this game. I think the lighting looks beautiful. We got a glimpse of public dungeons. You guys see that in the video? They were fighting that spider boss thing, apparently, out in the open world. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, she was quite attractive.
Yeah, for real. The public dungeon thing looks great. I can't wait to see how that pans out in Cyrodiil. But sort of to fast forward a little bit, guys, let's talk about the glimpse of RVR that we had. Legitimately, there must have been 200 players on that screen, something like that. And I think this is the video that all the press organizations and fan sites that attended that press event we're talking about where they saw the video of hundreds of players just clashing together and stuff. I think this is the video that they were referencing to, and it's incredible. I can't believe the trebuchets, how epic that was. They just focused that wall, and the wall came down, and when the wall came down, the people on that wall were screwed. That was insane. Looking good? Do you think it's going to work with how many people they have planned together?
Definitely. I mean, they've taken that into consideration, okay? That's what they've built the game around, is having massive scale battles with siege weapons that work and having 200 people on screen, right? I can remember sitting there at one of the, it was like the second fansite summit for Tor, and, you know, them giving us this rundown of, oh yeah, you know, such and such is gonna, you know, planet's gonna have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of players battling it out, you know, clashing against each other. And then when the game time came and you started playing that in endgame, it was just crap. Because the game wasn't built around PvP, it was built around story. That was Tor's strength. And Tor pulled it off really well. BioWare did a great job at telling story. But I think ZeniMax really focused a lot of their time around building RVR to make it work. Because, you know, the people that made this game, same people that came and made Dark Age of Camelot, and I'm sure they had somewhat of a helping hand for a little bit, at least, in the creation of Warhammer. So, I mean, these people know RVR, okay? They know PvP. They know Siege Combat. They know, you know, what it takes to build a game that can support this kind of combat and gameplay, and that's great. So I'm totally looking forward to it. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen a video of it. I mean, not to say that, you know, obviously, you know, that might not have been what it's, I shouldn't say that not would have been, but, you know, when you see video gameplay from a studio, you know, they could be playing in studio and yada, yada, yada. Obviously, it's going to look better in the video, but I think that's a really good glimpse of what we're going to be playing when Endgame comes for us in RVR.
Well, and that's another thing. The other thing that's awesome about that is you get access to being part of that epicness right at level 10. You get your level bolstered so that you can actually participate in that Cyrodiil just madness, that huge battle, which looks great. It's going to be interesting to see how Cyrodiil works. We still need to find out what's going on with the Imperial City? Why that's not going to be in the game at launch? I'm still interested to see that. But I was amazed how huge that fortress was in the video. That fortress was huge, way bigger than any keep I've ever seen, especially in Warhammer Online. That was huge freaking structure. And I don't know if that was a town or if that was a keep. I don't know what that was. Was that even a keep, or was that like a town? It looked like there was buildings on the inside, yeah, more than one keep.
Probably was a town, but even still, I mean, the keeps still are massive, okay? Because we know they're massive, because they said that they have keeps, which are massive, or at least big, and then you've got outposts, which are essentially smaller versions of keeps. So they're not going to be super small. So I would expect to see, you know, if for anybody that played Warhammer, you know, you got a keep, I would expect to see like a tier 3 or 4 size keep, and then maybe for an outpost, maybe a tier 2 keep or something. But they're obviously going to have walls, so perhaps the small outposts will be the size of tier 3 or 4 keeps, and we'll have even bigger keeps, you know, for actual keeps in RVR. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, that video blew me away. That scene with all those players, that was incredible. Totally crazy. What else from the video, guys? I mean, a lot of the stuff we already sort of knew about, what the developers were talking about. You know, about the whole questing is based on exploration, which has always been a pillar for the Elder Scrolls games. And they also talked about the adventure zones, where you can go to these zones with a small group, a large group, or just by yourself and explore these adventure zones, where you can confront mobs and stuff like that. Do you want to speculate a little bit about those adventure zones? What do you think that's all about? Is that Adventure Zone thing sort of... I'm sort of confused about what an Adventure Zone is. Is that just a zone where you can go run around and there's cool drops there? There's good loot?
It might be like a open world raid, sort of, maybe. Again, it's all speculation. I have no idea. You know, because you can do it solo, so obviously you're not going to be able to do like a 50-man raid solo. So it's probably not necessarily a raid, and there's probably different types of Adventure Zones, you know, for single-player combat and, you know, small group of three or four guys and then a large group of, like, 20 people or something like that. But I would maybe consider them close to maybe open-world raids or something like that. You know, they seem to be... ZeniMax keeps saying about encouraging people to play together, and they keep talking about a lot of their open-world stuff, like public dungeons and, you know, these random events that happen, these random world events that happen, and so on and so forth. They kind of... A lot of the feel for The Elder Scrolls Online seems to be just... Like what happens in Skyrim or Oblivion or Morrowind, you can just be walking around and a random event will happen and then you just take part in it. You get pushed into this. You're doing something and then just randomly something just occurs and you're like, oh dude, I'm gonna go do this now because this is freaking awesome. So yeah, I would assume it's just sort of like a open world raid or something like that.
Only time will tell about what that Adventure Zones is. That's pretty crazy though. That would be awesome if it's an open world raid, sort of PvE event. That would be crazy. Sort of almost like world bosses. Doesn't that sort of sound like open world PvE bosses that are just right. That just spawn in random places across the continent?
Right.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how that all pans out. Great video, guys and gals. If you have not seen this video, it is embedded in the post on our website attached to this podcast episode. Check out that video. We talked briefly about it. We gave a little bit of insight about the cool looking stuff, but a lot of stuff was just the basic information about TESO. I'm looking forward to see videos that specifically focus on each aspect that was shown in that video. For, you know, I hope we get a video that is totally discussing more in depth than just the basics of questing. I hope we get something that's more focused on each category that was discussed in that video, like a video that's more focused right. on RVR.
And they said they were going to be doing that too. So they said that at the end of the video that videos like that were coming, where they were going to talk about things that we don't know yet about the game and talk about things that were talked about in this game in more detail. So more videos are coming, which is awesome.
Before we move on, guys, what do you think of the Argonians?
I like the way Argonians have started to look over the last couple of years, as opposed to like Oblivion Argonians. Oblivion, I don't know what they looked like in Morrowind. I never played it, but in Oblivion they were, they just looked like lizard heads, and I kind of know that's kind of what they are, but they just, But in Skyrim and in Elder Scrolls Online, they have a really nice look to them, so I think they look sweet. I still probably wouldn't play one, but nonetheless, they look sweet.
To me, I don't know. I'm not complaining. To me, the Argonians look significantly different than they did in Skyrim. They look, I don't know. I can't describe. They almost look too dinosaurish to me. I don't know. It's sort of weird. The way the face looks, it looks like a dinosaur almost. And what was the you remember Zam from Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones? Zam Weasel? She was the female bounty hunter that like shapeshifted. Like that face, that reminds me exactly of the Argonian face. I don't know why. It's weird. I hope they change the Argonian's facial features. Like the body's fine, but the face looks so much different than Skyrim. I don't know. Maybe Argonians go through evolution or something and they change. But I don't know. They look a little weird to me. They look a little off. I hope they change that. I was a little stunned to see how they looked in the Elder Scrolls Online. Moving right along, though, let's talk about MMORPG.com. They came out with a list of 21 things you should know about The Elder Scrolls Online. We're not going to talk about all of this because some of this we've already talked about before. Some of this is stuff that isn't really new. But we will talk about the things that are very interesting. The Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild come after launch. The Fighters Guild and Mage Guild questlines are both in for launch, but the other two guilds, Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild, are not in at launch. What's up? Do you think this is because they're not ready, or do you think this is just ZeniMax Online holding content back so that they have content to unveil for people to look forward to?
I think it might be a little bit of both. You know, a lot of people are probably expecting. I would assume the Dark Brotherhood is probably going to be the most joined guild, okay, and the Thieves Guild is probably going to be close second or definitely third. So it's going to be one of those things where they want to make sure that they've got it down perfectly, because I'm assuming that implementing an entire thieving, you know, ring with gaming mechanics and stuff like that, with all the fences and quests and stuff like that, it's going to be a little bit more time-consuming development-wise. So I think that they want to make sure that they get the Thieves Guild and especially the Dark Brotherhood down perfectly. And then maybe they'll do some kind of major event for it. You know, maybe they'll do some kind of big showboat kind of, or maybe they'll just kind of slip it in there and you kind of accidentally run across it or something like that. But I would rather them, if they are just making sure that it's done properly, I would rather them wait to put it in than just toss it in there and there'd be broken quests or, you know, the sanctuaries or, you know, the Thieves Guild don't live up to players' expectations from previous games just because, you know, they rushed it in there for launch.
Dan, do you think that they're holding back the Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild for maybe level 50 content? That's not going to be content available to lower levels? Is that maybe why they're holding it back? Because it could be sort of expansionary content?
I think that they're holding it back and they're going to put it in later for something to look forward to, because there are people out there that are just going to play the game and get to max level and they'll play PvP for a while and they might get sick of it or old of it or something. They want something new. And the people that are building the game know that. So they're going to wait and put some content in later on.
Well, it's interesting to see what ZeniMax Online is doing. The Imperial City isn't going to be in the game, which is huge, right? That's a huge deal. The Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild isn't going to come after launch, until after launch. You know, I think this is pretty brilliant of them to be holding back this massive content, because they're pretty much guaranteeing that it will be in post-launch. But for them to hold back this content, they're keeping their consumer base intrigued to play. And we still don't know yet if this is going to be a free-to-play model or a subscription-based model. But even still, it's you got to think, man, if they're just holding back this content to keep people baited into the game, that's very smart. I think that's good. I don't know for sure if it's just not ready or if they're holding it back to keep players teased to play their game. But either way, I think to me it's gonna come out like it's a smart move. And I'm looking forward to see what they do with that. That would be interesting if the Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild come after launch, but maybe that's content that once you only hit level 50, then you can actually start messing around with that content. That would be really cool. Give you something to sort of look forward to endgame wise as a level 50 player. Something else to talk about. There will be a morality system. It's targeted for launch, but it might come after. And this will be something part of the Thieves Guild. What is this morality system that they're talking about?
Dark side points.
Oh my god!
No, really. I mean, that's basically what it is. They had something somewhat similar in Fallout, I think, in New Vegas. I mean, it wasn't really morality, but it was like you do something bad, and a certain faction dislikes you. So it was more approval based on NPCs. So, you know, and I think a morality system is great, because that makes you choose decisions based on you can kind of see what kind of character you're developing as you play through your story, right? So if you decide to, you know, go and help out this werewolf cult attack a city, or you decide to defend the city against the werewolf cult, you know, you'll get morality points based on which side you decide to help, if that's the route they're going.
Do you think there will be any benefits to the morality point system based on where your morale lies?
I mean, NPCs might talk to you differently, obviously. Quests might be opened up to you differently. You know, you might not be able to join the Dark Brotherhood as a saint, okay, if you're like the guy that runs around and, you know, pulls kittens out of trees and donates major money to, you know, the Nine Divines. Okay, you're probably not going to get chosen by the Dark Brotherhood. But if you're like, you know, a guy who feasts off of people's blood, okay, and like enjoys stabbing somebody in the face, might be more Dark Brotherhood type. I mean, it's not called the Light Brotherhood. That was a bad joke, but seriously, I mean, you get the idea. Yeah, so there might be different types of quests and stuff like that opened up to you. And obviously they could do stuff like, you know, armor and mounts. You know, you can get a horse that's maybe undead, and then, you know, as a good guy, you get a horse that kind of has like the shimmering glow to it or something like that.
What about the whole thing? What about the whole thing with the NPCs interacting with you when you come into a town? Do you think that could be sort of connected to this morality system? If you did good for that town, then they treat you in a cheering way and they're excited to see you. But if you did something terrible or something controversial, they might scorn at you. Or...
Right, that's what I was getting at with the New Vegas reference. You know, in Fallout New Vegas, there would be points where you could come to, like, you start off in the first little town that you start off in the game. You can either help defend that town at one point in the game, or you can attack that town. And based on who you side with depends on what faction likes you. So obviously if you attack the town's not going to like you anymore. People aren't going to want to talk to you anymore. Okay? But if you help defend it, you know, you go back, they're going to like you, they might give you better deals at the shops, but the people you helped defend against, those people aren't going to like you. You know, so it's going to probably be one of those kind of things where maybe factions play a role in it too. You know, because in Oblivion there were multiple guilds in the game. There were some guilds that you could join, some guilds that you really couldn't. Not, I shouldn't say guilds, but they were like little groups of factions, faction of people or something like that. I remember, you know, there was this one faction that you could join. Like, it was a guild, like, you could join, I think, but you only got like one rank in it. You were just like an honorary member or something silly like that. I mean, I could see something like that, you know, happening where you get some faction that's like, oh yeah, we're the Divine Protectors or something silly like that. And you help them defend their village against an onslaught of goblins, you know. Okay, cool. The Divine Protectors like you now. And they'll sell you Divine Protector armor or something silly like that.
We'll have to see what happens with that morality system. Dan, what's your opinion?
I agree with what Tim had to say. Maybe with, if you become or do bad deeds, maybe something will change on your armor where, I don't know, maybe different tattoos or something will come up, like blood gushing out of your, almost like an animation kinda. I don't know. I think that would be cool.
No, that makes sense. It's sort of something like, with what they did with Mass Effect. Based on your decision making, if you made dark decisions, the renegade ones, your facial features would be more evil looking.
You would be more scarred in the face.
Interesting to see if they do something like that. Mind you, folks, this is all speculation. But I'm hoping that we get more information on this morality system, too. This is something that's sort of new and that's sort of been kept under wraps. I don't think they brought up the morality system in the video, did they? I didn't hear anything about the morality system in yesterday's video.
I didn't hear anything either.
So, MMORPG.com, they must have found out about this when they went to play the game at that press event. This is sort of cool. Housing is coming post-launch. It is on the priority list of developers.
Yay, housing.
Yes, it won't make the release date, but it will probably come soon after launch. What do you think we're going to see housing-wise? We've seen many different types of housings in MMORPGs. We see things where it's instanced. We've seen stuff like SWG where the housings are just in the open world. And then you got things like Wildstar, where the houses are sort of on a plane floating up in the sky. They do something like that with the Oblivion. What's it called? What are the gates called?
Oblivion gates?
The Oblivion gates. Let's go to my house. Where is it? Gotta jump through this Oblivion gate. Let's go. I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
I'm psyched for it. I think that I totally believe they're going to be instanced, just because I really don't think they're developing the world to be Star Wars Galaxies. I don't think we're really going to probably see an MMO like Star Wars Galaxies housing anytime soon, unless some developer decides to make a pure sandbox MMO again. So I think we can rule that out. I don't think they'll be floating in the sky, because I don't really think that fits into Elder Scrolls lore, to be seeing just floating cliffs and plateaus. So I think we can rule that out.
Okay.
So that really only leaves
fair enough
instancing. And I could see them, it being similar to Skyrim, where you have houses, and even Oblivion, where you have houses that are in the cities, and you can buy them from, you know, whoever the royalty of that village is, or whoever's in charge, you know, of that village. You can buy them from their steward or whatever, and bam, you get a house. And then when you go to it, when you enter it, it takes you to your house, and then you can exit it and re-enter it again, and it maybe gives you an option. Go to friend's house, and you type in your friend's name, and it takes you to their house instead. It's all in the same area. Or they might do it somewhere where it's just like a random little thing out in the forest somewhere, you know, or I don't know. But I really believe that it's going to be instanced.
It's intriguing. I don't know if you guys have seen the player housing that's going to be in Rift Storm Legion, the expansion, but it looks phenomenal. And I'm not really a big fan of Rift, but the player housing in that game is one of the major selling points for that new expansion, and everyone that's played it loves it. I haven't heard anything bad about it, but you make these, you can customize so much in your housing. You can even customize the sky and how the sky looks around the instance where you live. You know what I'm saying? You can customize everything. It's incredible. Do you guys think that the housing in Tiso will be something that customizable, or do you think it's going to be something like Hearthfire?
I hope it would be customizable. Elder Scrolls is all about customization. I mean, that was one of their selling points in the video that we got today, or yesterday, I should say. You know, that was all about, hey, your class is pretty much customizable. You can be a mage who wears heavy armor and uses a two-handed sword but still casts spells. You could be a, you know, warrior who wears light armor and runs around with a bow or a tank or whatever you want to be. And on top of that, you can, I'm assuming, have same appearance customization that you would have in Elder Scrolls games, because Elder Scrolls games are known for their, you know, being able to adjust the width of the jaw, the height of it, and the depth of it, you know, stuff like that. So I would assume that if they're going to do something like player housing, they're going to allow you to customize it to a pretty good extent.
We'll have to see. Interesting. Elder Scrolls Online is obviously going to be a theme park, strong focus on story, dungeons, and the like. I think it's pretty fair that it's called a theme park. However, the PvP, especially in the end game with Cyrodiil, and I shouldn't even call it the end game because you can hit level 10 and start experiencing the PvP. Do you think that Emperor players can be crowned at level 10 once the game launches? Like, when sure. Everyone's low level?
Sure. They probably just, you won't be, if you're in, like, let's say the game's been out for 4 months, being a fresh level 10 is probably not going to be as easy to get as an emperor as a level 50, right? So a level 10 running in there isn't going to have that high of a chance, I would assume, because they're not going to have as good a gear. Sure, your gear and stuff gets boosted, but there's only so much you can do. You're not going to have as good as stats, because they're not really your base stats, they're your boosted stats, and you're not going to have as many abilities and so on and so forth. So, plus, I mean, if you're a new player, you're not going to have really the knowledge of the game as well. So, yeah, I would assume you're going to be able to do that stuff and become an emperor at a low level. It's just going to be really difficult.
Okay, those were those were the handful of new things. Pretty new from MMORPG.com. Some of the stuff was intriguing. But the other things were sort of repetitive, something that we've talking about the mega server and stuff like that. But that was the new stuff. Let's talk about this whole multi-guilding system that's coming in the Elder Scrolls Online. Basically, we said this exact same thing last week, but Tim and I, we were sort of confused. We didn't know for sure if it was true, but it is. Players will be able to join more than one guild. Player guild, not NPC guild like Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild and stuff like that. We're talking about player guilds. And Tim can create a character, join my guild, Dan's guild, and his other friend's guild, and be in all of those guilds. Am I crazy to think that this is a bad idea?
I like the idea, personally.
What? You like the idea. All right, Dan, you give us your... You got to persuade me here, man. Give us your breakdown on why you like this idea.
Well, if you have multiple friends that aren't friends with each other and they don't want to be friends with each other, like, as you said, Tim is friends with you and Tim is friends with me, but me and you, we aren't friends and we don't want to be friends because I don't like you and I don't like how you picked High Elf.
Oh.
Well, then I don't want to be friends with you. He can play with both of us still. You know what I'm saying? There's people out there that are like that, where they don't want to be with other people, even though that's what the game's trying to be built towards, is everyone play with everyone.
Is that your only reason? Is that your only backup point to this whole idea?
Just playing with other people? I mean, also, as you like it because you don't like it because you just want someone to be in one guild and you're a guild only, you being the leader of a guild. And I think if you're going to be part of one guild, and you should be able to prove yourself, be loyal, and stay in that one guild. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, the idea is logical in a game that's trying to drive people to play together. Okay, that makes sense. All right, I get that they want people to be able to go out and branch out and play in multiple, you know, play with multiple different types of friends. Okay, Dan makes a fair point there. And in Elder Scrolls lore, yeah, you can be, you know, in this guild and that guild and that guild and that guild. And I should say in Elder Scrolls lore, but in previous Elder Scrolls games. Yes, they were NPC guilds, but nonetheless, they kind of act the same. Okay, you can be in all four of the major guilds at once. So, yeah. I can see why they went with this. Because it makes sense.
What?
Previous games. Hold on. What? Don't freak out. Don't freak out. All right, it makes
sense. I'm sorry.
Logically speaking, it makes sense. Okay, with the direction and why they wanted to do this in the game. It makes perfect sense. Do I agree with it? No. Because I think from a gameplay standpoint, you need to have certain things that you need to be able to, you know, restrict or allow certain aspects. You need to make sacrifices when it comes to gameplay versus lore or whatever. Now, here's my solution to it. If they allow guild leaders to toggle an option that allows their members to be in multiple guilds, so if I create a guild and I make an option that says only, you know, players can only be in said guild, they can't go off and join another player's guild, I'm fine with it then. Because those people and those guilds out there that allow people to branch off into multiple guilds, fine. Okay? If those people want to do that kind of thing, great. Let them go and do that kind of thing. But I want the option, I want the people in my guild to be in my guild. Okay, I want the people in my guild to be a part of my guild and nobody else's. I want their full attention. Yes, I'm greedy when it comes to that. I'm greedy when it comes to that because I don't think that, you know, if you're joining a guild, I feel like those are the people that you should play with. Those are the people that you can obviously play with other people, other friends that you meet. But those people that join my guild, I feel like they need to be a part of what our guild is. Because, I mean, why else do you join a guild? You join a guild to bond and get to know people and to play content with those people. Sure, if, you know, one guild focuses only on PvP and one guild focuses only on PvE and you want to get the best of both worlds, it makes sense, again, to join multiple guilds. But if you have a guild that offers everything, I really think that, you know, people should stick with your guild. As long as they have a toggle option, I mean, at that point, I mean, obviously there's nothing I can do anyways, even if they don't have a toggle option, but I'll be able to live with it if they have a toggle option. I'm not going to rage quit if they don't or anything like that, you know. But, I mean, it would sit a lot better with me if they let us, you know, only allow people to be in only our guild or whatever. So that's my two cents.
I think that the button thing is a really good idea, and they should probably think of something, or maybe, I don't know, have a restriction on how many guilds you can join. Like, you can only join one PvP guild and one PvE guild, something like that. I agree with your button thing.
I mean, obviously everyone knows I'm against it, right? I agree with the button thing too. Let's talk about guilds for a second. This is the same development company where developers worked on Dark Age of Camelot and Warhammer Online. Mostly Dark Age of Camelot developers, but there are some developers that are ex-Mythic employees. And the guild systems in those games were pretty unique. You could level up your guild. There were guild perks. There were things within the guild that you could earn, and that would affect the guild members within it. For example, the banners, and they would grant you extra experience or renown. Now, how do you think that's going to work if they have something like that type of mechanic in this game, and there's a player that's part of four different guilds? Is he going to get the perks for all of those four different guilds? No idea. Like, how's that going to work? And if that is the case, if you can't get the perks from all the four different guilds, then what's the point of the entire system? And if you can get the perks of all the four different guilds, if there are guild perks, this is assumptions. this is an educated guess because of the past games developed by this company. Not by this company, by the developers of this company. How is that going to be fair at all? You're just going to have people just spamming invites to players, and these players are going to join as many guilds as they can to get as many guild perks as they can, and you're going to have a mess.
I don't know. I think they could maybe add a restriction, kind of like with the thing Tim was talking about with the button for multiple guilds, one guild. They'll maybe do a thing where if you're in multiple guilds, you only can be part of one in the game. So you have the option to be a part of them. But when you're playing with that one guild, you type in that, well, not type, but the button for that guild, you're in that guild. So you only get those stats.
It's still unfair, though. It's still unfair, though, because even if you do have that button, when you're doing PvE, all right, I'm going to enable this guild's perks because I get my PvE bonuses. Hell yeah. Alright, now I'm going into Cyrodiil. I'm going to enable this PvP guild's perks, and I'm going to get my bonuses. Hells yeah! I mean, this system seems so broken to me. I don't know. It seems so weird. And it doesn't... They're saying they want to build camaraderie, and to me, it's doing the opposite. It's doing the opposite to me, because I feel camaraderie is made by, you know, sticking with the people that you play with all the time, almost. That you play with on a daily basis, and guild pride of the only guild that you're in, and representing the colors. I mean, what if you're part of four guilds, are you going to have four different, you know, symbols and stuff on your tabard? Four different guild symbols? I don't know. This just seems wacky to me. It seems to me that the whole community and camaraderie thing is sort of shot by this entire system, because you're not pledging loyalty or anything to one of these guilds. It's just like, I don't know, I'm with these guys and with these guys and with these guys and with these guys. I don't know, it just seems weird to me, man. I don't buy it. I don't buy it, man. I wish we had more information about this. I'm probably sounding a little upset because of the system.
Yeah, you sound pretty upset.
But to be honest with you, I think there are going to be a ton of guilds within this game. If everything stays how it is, where you can join multiple guilds, I think there are going to be a ton of guilds in this game that are going to come up with a policy that says you can't join any other guilds but ours. And this whole system that they're focusing on, and that I have to believe they think is innovation. It's innovation. It's innovative. I think that this system isn't going to work at all. It's not going to be used at all.
Who knows, though? Maybe I'm trying to be the positive side on this. Maybe they'll do something where if your guild goes and does something, you get a guild rank up, and your guild's worth more than this other guild. So your guild is better to join. And if you guys are always constantly on getting better guild ranks or whatever, or experience towards your guild to get better stats, then they'll join your guild instead of someone else's guild. Almost like competition, where you want someone to join your guild because it's better than someone else's guild. I don't know. Something like that.
Well, that would be fine, but that's the problem is
that already happens.
You can join multiple guilds.
That already happens with other guilds, though. In other games, you know, you get a guild that's really progressive in PvE or really good at PvP, and people leave guilds to join that guild. You already get the competition with the old system. The only thing with this system is you wouldn't have to leave the guild that you're currently in. You would just be able to join that other guild, and then you would play more with them instead of the guild that you were originally a part of, leaving all those other people to just sit there and, you know. That's the only thing that I hate, is that we need more information. But you're going to get people that join, obviously, multiple guilds, and they're going to not pay attention to the guild that they were just a part of. You know, they might completely put their old guilds on the afterburners and completely ignore them or not play with them that much.
Let's be real, whatever. They're going to be shitty guild members.
Right, they're not going to be...
I'm just going to be totally blunt.
They're not going to be quality guild members at all, and it's going to be unfortunate for that guild because they're going to have, you know, oh yeah, we've got 300 people in our guild. Of course, only 10 of them play with us, but we have 300 people in the guild. It's not the same, you know. It's not the same. And then, you know, there's always going to be those people that threaten things like, oh, well, if I don't get my way, fine, I'll just go and play with these guys. They already have me in their guild, so, you know, I'm just going to play with those guys, and you guys can raid by yourself. Great. Awesome. So now we have a bunch of people that are demanding to get their own way. I don't know. I really hope that we get some more information on this very soon, because this seems to be sort of a major issue. At least I think so.
I mean, and the reason, like, a lot of people are saying, oh, the reason why they're doing this multi-guilding thing is because one guild may be focused on PvE, and one guild may be focused on PvP or RVR, etc. But that doesn't mean that just because you focus on a specific, you know, gameplay style in the game doesn't mean that you don't do other content. You know, if you're a PvE-focused guild, that doesn't mean that you only do PvE. That's your focus, but that doesn't mean that those players aren't going to never go to RVR and do stuff like that. So what happens when the PvE does decide, all right, tonight we're not going to raid, we're going to take a break, and we're going to go to Cyrodiil and do some RVR? And you have a few of your guild members that only play with you when you do PvE content. And then those guild members, when they go to Cyrodiil, the other guilds they're a part of are their RVR guilds, and they only play with the RVR guilds when they're in Cyrodiil. And now you got the PvE guild going to Cyrodiil tonight, and now you're stuck in this decision with trying to persuade your members to come play with you guys tonight because you're in Cyrodiil. I don't know. It just seems to me, it's way too complex. It's going to cause a ton of problems, I think. I know it is. I know playing MMORPGs, how guild drama is already an issue. And now there's going to be 10 times more guild drama with this system. Do you know how controversial it's going to be? You're competing for your members' time with your guild, with another guild. That's the problem I see with this.
I think we need more information on the topic.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree. I'm obviously a little strung up about this. I hope we get more information soon to see what's the dealio with that. But yeah, all right. Multi-guilding. Any last comments about that, boys?
I have nothing to say about it.
Toggle button. That's it.
Talk about it. All right. Alrighty. And we are going to wrap up the show, guys and gals. Man, went by fast. We have some questions via Twitter. Okay, here we go. On your knees, ho. This is the guy that tweeted us, okay?
It's a great name.
Yeah.
That's a great name, by the way.
Very,
I like it.
You like it, Dan? Wow.
I love it.
Wow. All right. At Real Troll Scroll, will you be able to use a controller / joystick for Tiso? That's a good question, especially since the gameplay controls are being stressed so much by the developers that it's like Skyrim and other Elder Scrolls games. What do you think? I don't know about the joystick. I think the controller, though. They got PC controllers, and you can plug in the Xbox controller to your computer. They got software where you can do it. I think that's definitely a possibility, for sure.
Yeah. I agree. My friends, they play right now. There's like a little thing you can buy, and you plug it in through USB, and then you plug in your controllers into a different outlet, and it's wireless. So, and it works. They play Super Smash Brothers on their computer with their controllers.
That's badass. Tim, what do you think? Possibility?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, it's different than other MMOs only because, you know, other MMOs have 45 different abilities that you can go through. Okay, Elder Scrolls focuses a little bit less on the amount of abilities. There's only a certain amount of abilities that we have. A lot of the combat comes from just your typical Elder Scrolls combat, swinging a sword, blocking with your shield, and then, you know, they add the whole finesse points with, you know, then you can toggle better abilities and so on and so forth like that based on points and stuff that you earn. So, yeah, I could see, since there's a lot less buttons that you have to press than your typical MMO, yeah, I could see a controller being used. I don't know about a joystick. Do they still make joysticks? They probably
make
joysticks.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely. I mean, I could see. Yeah, I could see them using a Xbox controller or something.
Can you imagine using a joystick for the Elder Scrolls Online?
Right. I mean, I know they still make joysticks for games and stuff like flight simulators and whatnot, but I don't see them being as popular as a controller. I think they would do a controller first before a joystick. Maybe if they had dragon combat, you can fly a dragon.
I'm going in, boys.
Pull up.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Alright. Secondly, Dufton Adam says, at Real Troll Scroll, does Tiso Online have anything as dramatic and exciting to replace dragons?
Ooh. They have those like gargoyle looking things. They look very similar to dragons too, might I add. Like very, very similar to dragons.
Yeah, if you look, Dufton Adam, if you go to the concept art page on the Elder Scrolls Online, you can see what Tim's talking about. There's this image of these giant gargoyle-esque creatures. And they're flying by the Imperial City, aren't they, Tim? Aren't they like trolling around the Imperial?
They're somewhere around there, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure those are spawns of Molag Bal, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
On a side note, though, Dufton Adam, the developers did tweet that dragons are a possibility for the game post-launch.
Yeah, they said something about them being in development or something like that. So,
which is insane. That's awesome. And this wasn't a question, but Interested Eye said that he is going to win the contest for a Hearthfire DLC code. Thank you, Interested Eyes. Next time, ask us a question, please. Alrighty, guys, episode 6 of Troll Scroll is finished. Thanks for coming on the show, Dan and Tim. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Guys and gals, go to www.trollscroll.com. for all the news you need to know about the Elder Scrolls Online. Follow us on Twitter at Real Troll Scroll. You could like our Facebook page. We would love it if you did. And we have an interview coming up in the near future with Brian Wheeler. We locked the thread today, but we got a ton of, I think we got about 60 questions almost. from
the, we got 60 posts, each person posting like 3 or 4 questions, so do the math.
Yeah, so we have a ton of questions.
It's about 180.
we'll have to see how many of these get answered. There were a lot of questions that weren't related to PvP, so for anyone who asked a question not related to PvP, just a heads up, you're probably not going to get your question asked, because this is the PvP lead designer. But keep an eye on trollscroll.com for that podcast interview. I can't wait to do it. It's going to be awesome. And also, if we have the posting contest going on, whoever posts the most, the top 5 people that post on trollscroll.com will win the a PC download key for the Elder Scrolls Hearthfire DLC. And we have 5 codes to give away. 5 top 5 people who are active on our website will get a code at a time we deem ready. So keep that in mind. Be active on our site. Comment, post, share your ideas, share your concerns. Disagree.
Agree.
Yeah.
Have fun. Whatever.
Talk.
Be active. Be a part of something big.
Indeed. Episode 6, guys and girls.
Speaking of which, if you want to be a part of something big, you should totally check out Legion, which is our guild.
Oh my god. Wow.
See what I did there?
Wow.
See what I did there? A Legion. That's right. You guys can go to the website, go to trollscroll.com, and click on the tab at the top that says Legion, and you can read up on us and visit our guild website and check us out and see if you're interested in it. We're RVR focused guild.
Yeah, we already got a pretty good start on guild members, and we're already playing a game together. So jump on it.
Yep.
All right. See you later, guys and gills. Next week, we will talk to you.
I used to be a knee like ye.
And I took an adventure.